warning. This podcast may contain spoilers from whatever TV show or movie is mentioned. Please listen at your own discretion. Welcome to Viewers Anonymous.
Yo, what's going on? I am Scoots Bronson.
And I am S. Foster.
And that's right. You tuned into another episode of the Viewers Anonymous podcast, where we give you our very own reviews and takes of movies and TV straight out of Hollywood. Brother, we got a good episode for him today.
Oh, yeah. Definitely got one, man. A little something in the beginning, a little something in the end. You know what I'm saying? Just spice it up a little bit, man.
Absolutely.
It's been some content, man, that just can't be ignored, man. And it has to go out to, I would say, our audience, I would say.
No, for sure. So, y'all already know, second episode of the week. If you've been here before, you know we get into one of our favorite segments of the show. If you haven't been here before, we get into what we like to call the trailer version of our pod, where we give you glimpses of extra content outside of what we're covering for the episode. We call this What We Watching. You ready, bro?
Yes, sir.
All right, so usually, you know what I'm saying, we each give our own what we watching, but today, man, this is a little different. I think this version of what we watching that we're going to do is pretty much, you know what I'm saying, we're going to tag team and talk a little bit about this doc that just recently dropped. It is on Hulu. It's also on Max. You can check it out on either one. And it's called Quiet on the Set. Thank you. Okay. I remember this time. Hey, listen, bro. That was escaping my mind so much. But Quiet on the Set is a documentary, four-part docuseries that pretty much goes over kind of like the golden era of Nickelodeon. And their meteoric rise to being number one in children's television. It focuses on the creative director, Dan Snyder, and his creations throughout the network. It also focuses on, I believe, three different employees who were charged with molestation and pedophilia. It also focuses a little bit on the chart of the child stars of that era and how the stress of working in Hollywood affected them, but also the traumas that they went through as well, being employed during that time. So, man, it's crazy. It's one of those things that, as a parent watching it, so for me it's two things, right? Two different POVs. As a parent watching it, I was very furious because there's a lot of things going on in those scenarios where the parents weren't necessarily held accountable for some of the stuff that was going on, right? And I know a lot of people say, like, well, you can't really blame the parents, and you really can. And then second, the POV of being somebody who grew up watching these same programs and like this same content as a child. And first off, I never looked at any of that stuff that way, right? Like, as a kid, you don't even think twice about that type of stuff. Like, that was just, to me, just a bunch of goofy stuff that I seen. And I'm mainly talking about, like, from, like, the all that era up until probably, like, I don't know. I'm trying to think, like, what... Like, I was a part of, like, all that Legends of the Hidden Temple, Double Dare, you know what I'm saying? Like that era. The iCarly and all that later on, like that was my little sister's time. So I seen it, but like I wasn't like watching it. You know what I'm saying? Like she had it on TV, but that was just, I was just a, you know what I'm saying, a victim of circumstance at that point. I was trying to watch, you know, sports and all that around that time. But seeing this, it's like, yo, you know, a lot of the stuff that they shown, I remembered, you know what I'm saying, a bunch of the characters and a bunch of the episodes, because like I was really into, I was really into like Nickelodeon around the time. Like I used to get the Nickelodeon magazines. I remember when the Spice Girls was on Nickelodeon. I don't know if you remember that, but like that was a big, big thing that they did. I remember when Kenan and Kel first came out, like around all that, like, yeah, I was into it. So, it's crazy seeing the things that were basically going on behind the scenes. You know what I'm saying? Like this shit was reckless.
It was, man, it was beyond reckless. And the crazy part for me was I heard about it on Joe's podcast first before I actually sat down to watch it. And what was boggling my mind was how they kept saying Dan Schneider. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I got the Dan Schneiders mixed up because I'm thinking about the Dan Schneider that's the owner of the Washington Commanders. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, how the hell did he get involved in Nickelodeon? Like, yeah. I'm sitting here like this whole time I'm listening to it. And mm-hmm. until I watch it, I'm thinking of Dan Schneider.
Yeah, the Commander. that's why this motherfucker lost his team for real.
Yeah, I'm sitting here like, dang. And so then when I started watching it, I was like, oh, the Schneiders are spelled different. It's a whole mm-hmm. totally different person. But no, man, this was beyond disgusting. Like now, see, for me, it's different for me because I didn't have like quote unquote a childhood like that. Like I didn't really watch Nickelodeon and the Disney Channel and all of that type stuff. Like I was watching, you know, sports stuff. I was watching mm-hmm. horror movies and all that type stuff. I just really didn't have like the typical childhood where I would watch like stuff like that. Right. I ended up watching it later on. But my youngest son started watching like the iCarlys and the mm-hmm. Victorious and the Thundermans and Sam and Cat and all that type stuff. But I'm already, you know, fully developed at this time. But even when I'm watching it, I'm not really like paying attention. And yeah. then he would usually watch a lot of the same episodes anyway. So I didn't really mm-hmm. see, you know, some of the stuff that was shown in this. But like the stuff that was really bothering me was, I mean, it was really all of it. But like something that you touched on about giving parents accountability. And like, so there was one parent, the second black dude that they singled in on, and they were talking to his mother and you know, he got to talking about, you know, that that Dare show or whatever, like mm-hmm. basically like a kid's fear factor.
They had the dogs licking peanut butter off of them, bro.
Yeah, yo, that's some wild shit, yo. Like, literally. For them to even to think about putting kids through something like that when you seen full-fledged adults out here about to have a heart attack on Fear Factor. Well, Fear Factor was not yet.
No. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was.
Let me tell you what the craziest shit was. Fuck that peanut butter shit. I'm with them, though. That shit was weird. I feel you. That was some weird shit. I'm not denying that. When they made my man eat the live scorpion, bro. Nah. Hey, I burned down that whole goddamn set, bro.
Yo.
Ain't no fucking way, my nigga.
Crazy. But to finish that point when you were talking about the parents, his mom wasn't having that shit.
Right.
Like, and they ended up pushing him off the show. Mm-hmm. Because she would leave. She was like, nah, like she was like, yo, there's some weirdo shit going on here. Absolutely. And it's not right. Now, granted, when they end up kicking them off the show because she wouldn't be quiet, which she had every right, she was entitled to, you know, mm-hmm. to speak her mind on some of the stuff that she didn't feel was right. Now, initially, my man was mad at his mom for getting him kicked off the show and all of that type stuff. Because he was like, I ain't even get to say goodbye to, you know, the people that I was friends with.
Right.
But
right.
all of the weirdo shit that came afterwards ended up being a blessing in disguise. Even though I don't think, because he even said it, he was like, he deal with, you know, some racially insensitive things because of what he went through on the show. He was like, I was never like one of the favorites. Like, he was like, Dan never, you know what I'm saying, really even talked to me like that. You know,
well, the crazy part, right, was when you look at the three black kids that was on that episode. I mean, that was on that show that they, or the documentary, I'm sorry. When you look at the three black kids that was on the documentary, I forgot what the girl's name is, but she was like early. Yeah, no, no. The one girl was on the Amanda show. The other girl was on All That.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So it was three of them that was on All That, and then it was the one girl that was on the Amanda show. The first girl that they saw, I forgot what her name was, but she was on like the early seasons of All That. And her situation was a little weird because when she was on there, I think Kenan and Kel were coming in too. I want to say Kenan and Kel were around that same time. No, yeah, Kenan and Kel was, yeah, that's right, because her and the first dude was around the same time, so Kel and Kenan was on there as well. Because I remember Kel was talking to dude's mom about him, you know what I'm saying, being on there, and then she was saying, like, is he any good? And he was basically, you know, showing him love. But it's crazy because she has a podcast now called The Tokens. So it's like her and like some other people who were like child stars and actors and whatever. And she talked about how, you know, like in Hollywood, like how they make you the token like minority. And it's amazing to see her like being an adult now and looking back on that and having those conversations with like other people in that profession and realizing like, yo, the only reason we probably got these jobs is because like they wanted to do certain jokes or they wanted to do some racist shit. So like we in there because of that, like that's our main focus to be in there. And I thought like, to me, that that's wild because it's like, bro, this, you like, once again, this is like kids television. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is shit. Like, even when they showed the one skit where, like, dude was supposed to be, like, hustling Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah.
Yo, you know they had this nigga in the, you know they had this nigga in the Girl Scout uniform doing that?
Yeah.
That's crazy, bro.
Had him hiding, sneaking, like he's, like, basically looked like he stole the shit.
Yeah, or like he's selling drugs and shit. Like
he's selling drugs. Yeah.
So it was like, cause remember his mom was like, so the black kid is the crack dealer. Like, wait a minute, what the fuck are we doing? So like seeing that type stuff as a kid, you don't even think about that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not even something that crosses your mind. As an adult going back and looking at it, it's like, yo, this shit is totally out of line. Like all of this shit is out of line. You know what I'm saying? Like even with Dan Snyder. And like, so real quick, for the people that don't know who Dan Snyder is, or like haven't, or they don't know what he looks like, if you watch Good Burger, he's the manager in Good Burger, the real heavy set white guy in Good Burger. That's Dan Snyder. And so like he literally was like Nickelodeon's saving grace. Because if it wasn't for him creating this this like teenage renaissance for Nickelodeon, it wouldn't have really been too much that they had, right? Because like I remember like The Adventures of Pete and Pete, Are You Afraid of the Dark, And maybe like a couple. It was like Camp something. I forgot what it was called. Camp Wana Wana or something like that. But and then it was like, oh man, what is the show that Omar Gooden was on? Like they had stuff like that, right? And then like they had Double Dare, of course. And then like once like all that and shit came in, like you start getting like Legends of the Hidden Temple, and then you had like Double Dare, like 2000 or some shit like that. It was like a whole renaissance. Like they saved them because like Disney started to like become this like TV show powerhouse. So now with Dan Schneider giving you these like brand new ideas, these fresh ideas, these brand new stars, like all that was the equivalent of Saturday Night Live, but for teenagers. So like you had, you know, you could watch Saturday Night Live, you could watch Mad TV, but if you was a teenager, you had all that. And what was even crazy was everything about all that was like literally modeled after that whole thing of Saturday Night Live. It came on Saturday at night. It was a part of SNCC. They had this version of Teen Nick before they called it Teen Nick. It was called SNCC. So it was like Nickelodeon on like Saturdays. And it would be like a whole block of like shows for the teenagers. And that's why I was saying, like, I remember when the Spice Girls was on there, because like that was a huge thing, because like they was doing all of the shows in that SNCC block. So like throughout the day it was whatever was on regular Nickelodeon, and then like at a certain time that's when it turned to like Teen Nick or whatever. And so like as you got, you know, like it was a thing where you watched it as a kid, you got older, and now you can continue watching it because now you have something, it's something there for you to watch, not knowing that it's all kind of malicious shit going on, like, you know what I'm saying, people grooming the actors, or you know what I'm saying, molesting the actors, or Dan Schneider having people give him massages, and him being super duper close with you know what I'm saying, the child stars. It was totally crazy, bro.
Yeah, it was definitely sick, man. Like I was literally disgusted like watching it and even talking about it, because you just hear some of the things that was going on, mm-hmm. whether, you know what I'm saying, whether it was my man hiring these two women to be staff writers, and then telling them that they got to share their salary, but everybody else get full pay. And then they fired the one girl because she made the one joke where Dan asked her to do a job or something, and said something like he would pay her like $200 or $300. She do it and he don't pay her, and then said something else about, yo, if you do this, it was in some meeting, like, yo, you do this, I give you $20 or some shit. And she was like, oh, well, we know you don't like paying your bets or something like that.
No, she said she said, what are you gonna do? Add it to my tab?
Yes. And that pissed him off. So he just flat out fired my girl, and then told my other girl that basically that I forgot how he put the salary, how he explained it to her, but basically said that she was going to have to work 11 months for free.
Yeah, because he basically was giving her a regular fucking salary and not giving her the full salary. So he basically was like, yo, you getting paid half of a full salary. And then when old girl got fired, he was like, yeah, you still getting paid half of a full salary. So basically, yeah, that's what was happening.
And then hired another dude, but he got a full salary. Who had no experience in what he was doing. But it was just a lot of sick shit, man. And the thing that I noticed, that it was something that was said, and I was just like, no, like, I know who they're making it for. Like, when you see, like, the foot fetish stuff that they was doing, and, you know, squirting juices in girls' faces and all this type of stuff. And, like, one of the people that was speaking on the show was saying, like, yo, like, this is a kid's show. Like, why are you putting this in there? Who are you making this for? And she didn't, like, answer herself. And it's like, yeah, like, I know who they're making it for. They're making it for perverts.
Right.
Who like to see kids in certain sexual situations, which is just... is to prey on children And this goes, and this even goes, but it's a little different. It's not the same with sports, right? A lot of the times when you see, I'm not going to say a lot of the time. Let me not say that, because there are a lot of AAU coaches out here that are out here doing the right thing, right? But there are some, but they're doing it a different way. They're doing it in a way of like, all right, this kid got potential, so I'm going to take care of him, make sure he get everything he need, because if he make it to the league, he going to remember something me and kick me something back. Exactly. And in this situation, it's more of like they are grooming these kids in a way of, you know what I'm saying, whether it's sexual favors or are just really like trying to attach themselves to them.
Or promising them shows and not giving them a show, and then when a new kid come in, be show favoritism to this kid, and they end up giving her the show that was promised to you. Yo, Katrina, I think her name was Katrina Johnson. So she did a character on All That, but she used to do Ross Perot. Ross Perot is an old presidential candidate that I think he went up against what, Bill Clinton or something like that, and lost. But he was a real funny-looking old dude. And she used to, like, nail this impression of Ross Perot. And it's like she never really got her chance or her shot at, you know what I'm saying, like, real fame, because, you know, she was getting older. Her body started filling in. You know what I'm saying? Like, she didn't have that child demeanor anymore. And in comes this super, super talented kid in Amanda Bynes. And Dan Snyder just kind of threw Katrina Johnson to the side, like, all right, that was cool, but no, this one is the one. And we seen how Amanda Bynes ended up, you know what I'm saying? Like, and she had it all. Like, she was a star. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, they pretty much ruined the shit out of these kids' lives.
Yeah, I mean that's exactly what they did, and it just sucks that we can't trust adults to handle kids.
Exactly.
To give kids entertainment, like every age group, I guess deserve is the word I could use. Deserve like their entertainment. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like you have. You know what I'm saying, Nickelodeon and Disney and all that stuff for the kids. Then, you know, then also teenagers as well. And then you get into, you know what I'm saying, the adult age where, you know, whether it's action shows or, you know, the stuff like that. And then, you know, you got the people who like crime stuff and you got TV shows for everything. And then when you get to that older demographic, you know what I'm saying, you had like the shows like, you know, The Golden Girls and Matlock.
See, you
and
all had that a whole channel, TV Land, dedicated to all that.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So, like, but the issue is, it's like kids shouldn't have to deal, like, what those kids have to deal with, they shouldn't have to deal with that for these other kids all across America to have entertainment. Like, they shouldn't have had to go through what they went through.
Especially when you could have just been in there making animation.
Yeah, it sucks, man. Like I said, it was very disturbing as a parent, you know, watching it, and then just as a quote unquote normal human being, where I don't look at kids and teenagers in that fashion. So it's kind of like, you know, you looking at these dudes, and the one thing that I say, because I know we got to get to the feature presentation, is just the fact of like, you know, the one guy who, you know, sent an email to a 9-year-old, you know what I'm saying, of himself masturbating, and she shows her mom, and her mom is like, yo, like, it says because I'm thinking of you. And it's like, yo, like, are you kidding me?
Bro, well, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. I better not never see no shit like that. First and foremost, when I see you, when we get to this set or whatever, if I don't see your house before that, I'm going to kill you with my bare hands.
That's some sick shit.
I'm not going to use a gun. I'm not going to use a knife. I'm going to kill you with my bare hand. How dare you send that to somebody's child, bro?
That is nuts, man. It's nuts for that to even.
That's some sick shit.
Like, there's some chemically imbalanced shit.
Ain't no, that's just some flat out sick shit. Science ain't got nothing to do with that shit, bro. You just a fucking loser, and you need to take yourself and unalive yourself. That's what you need to do. Do us all a favor and unalive yourself. You don't need to go get help. You don't need to do none of that. Go unalive yourself. Because apparently it ain't no help for no shit like that. How do you help somebody like that?
Well, I mean, you can't, because they hired people who had those, you know what I'm saying, charges, and then they end up doing the same shit. Then there was one guy who went to jail for a couple of months, came out.
He went to jail for 18 months. No, I'm sorry, 16 months. Yeah. Then got hired to go to Disney. And did the Sweet Life of Zach? Man, I don't even want to keep talking about this shit, bro.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I can't. That's fucking nuts to me, man. Like, you really putting these kids in fucking danger. Never mind. Anyway, man. If you guys can stomach it, if you guys can, sit through it, watch it, or whatever, it's a huge trigger warning. If you have been or if you've ever been in a situation where you've experienced sexual assault or molestation, then you might want to be cautious watching this. It's very triggering. As an adult, as a parent, it's very triggering as well. So just, if y'all watch it, just be cautious watching it. I'm not going to say don't watch it. Just be cautious watching it. Watch it at, you know what I'm saying, your own pace, your own risk. But yeah, it's wild, man. Moving on to some brighter lights. Man, Captain America Civil War. I tout this as the I've been doing this shit all day. I'm sorry. Winter Soldier. You was talking about Civil War earlier, so yeah, it brought me back to that. I had it down earlier where I kept saying Winter Soldier, because earlier when I was talking to somebody about what we was going to do, I kept saying Civil War, and they was like, yeah, man, I love Civil War. And I was like, no, Winter Soldier. I was like, man, you just said Civil War. Captain America Winter Soldier, to me, is the best Marvel movie that they've made. From top to bottom. No skips. I'm talking story. I'm talking characters, action, fight scene. This is everything you want in a movie. Especially dealing with characters who really don't have superpowers, right? I mean, like, well, Captain America has superpowers, but he got, like, they kind of nerfed him in the movies. Don't get me wrong. They kind of nerfed him. But he just got, like, superhuman strength, superhuman speed. Like, you know what I'm saying? He faster than normal. You know, he had the super soldier serum and shit. So, you know, he got a little advantage. Winter Soldier, he kind of got that super. Well, I think he got it too, but he kind of got the advantage. But he also got a metal arm, so. Yeah. That's his, you know, so like that's his plus one. Falcon, this is our introduction into Falcon, also our introduction into the Winter Soldier, but our introduction into Black Falcon, which they just changed the Falcon because, you know, you can't call a nigga Black Falcon in 2000, whenever. So this is our introduction into Falcon. Nick Fury, Black Widow. Reprise, you know, Sunday Rose. And what is her name? Agent Oh man, I'm sorry. Give me 1 minute, bro. Kobe Schmoder. Agent Maria Hill. Yeah. Agent Maria Hill reprises too. So basically, right, you got this story of, and this is what I like about this movie too, though, because I got to get this off my chest. Because they find a way to humanize superheroes in this film, right? On one end, you have this organization in S.H.I.E.L.D. who is supposed to be protecting the world and everything from, you know what I'm saying, like all of this advanced crime and these like super beings and stuff like that. That's what S.H.I.E.L.D. is credited for. And then you have this director who is like pretty much a part of this group that was supposed to be gone a long time ago, right? In Hydra. And so Captain America, like I said, it humanizes the superhero, because, and I think that's what they did best about his character as well, is you don't feel like he's too over the top. Like, you don't feel like you can't be Captain America. Like, I feel like if somebody watched the Captain America movies and they found out like how to throw a shield, they could be Captain America. You know what I'm saying? But this movie is the perfect balance of a superhero movie and like a spy movie, an action movie, and like in a weird way, kind of like a war movie. So it's like the perfect balance of all of that. What did you think about it, right? Because I know you said earlier, like, you out of the three, you prefer Civil War.
Yes.
Okay. So going back and watch, like, what were some of your thoughts?
Well, some of my thoughts, that it's crazy because, and that's what I was telling you earlier before we started, was because we've seen so many of these films. And you know, from phase one, especially phase one to phase four, it's like it's just so much stuff that we ended up seeing. And going back in this one, and I was telling you, like, yo, I didn't remember that we thought that Nick Fury was dead for like 30 minutes, you know what I'm saying, for the movie or whatever, 30 or 45 minutes in the movie. And but what I ended up thinking of this one was just how dope that the Winter Soldier was, the evil Winter Soldier. And I think that him as a villain is better than him as like a part of the Avengers.
The anti-hero, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's better in that role because of his skill set and the things that he could do. And like the ruthless part of him in this film is really, you know, well, I got to steal one of your things, where the antagonist part of it really kind of made the movie a whole lot better.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it was, and even though, like, you know, he has, because it's kind of like when you have the skill set he have, it's like, dude, it's like, why do you have a gun? Like, you can literally come out here and just snap somebody's neck, and you got the speed, you got the power, you know what I'm saying? But it seems like the guns kind of make them a little bit more like humanized in a way, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And just the way that they even introduced him, the first time that he had an interaction with Captain America, when, you know what I'm saying, when he was running and chasing me, he threw a shield at him and he caught that bad boy. It's like, oh, my. Shit.
Bro, can we talk about this real quick? Can we talk about this real quick? Please, what's let's up? Talk about this real quick. Let me tell you something, bro. You talking about a perfect scene? You talking about perfection in a scene, my nigga? Listen, this nigga jumps out the window, lands on the roof. Captain America jumps out, you know, runs after him. And of course, everybody know when Cap swing that arm over, you already know what's happening. Bro, this nigga is not even looking. He hears it. He turns around and catches it just like that. and just pauses. When I tell you, bro, the theater erupts. When I go to see this, the theater erupts. Like, what? Everybody's in there. They like, what? Like, in unison. Because you done seen Captain America throw his shield, I don't know how many times. Right? You done seen him knock people into cars and off of buildings, and they done flew 10 feet. This man catches it, grips it, and throws it back at him, bro. I'm like, oh my God. And then he stops it and he slides back. Bro, perfect scene, bro. Perfect. Just to show you just the balance of them two. Like, this is the perfect yin and yang. Perfect scene, bro.
Yeah. And I may say, even though I know the last scene, he wasn't fighting back, but the two scenes that we seen them really go at it, I gotta say this. And we spoke a little bit about this a couple of episodes back. When season two of Luke Cage, when Bushmaster was in there.
Mm-hmm.
If y'all seen that, y'all know what I'm talking about. Bushmaster whooped Luke Cage ass every fucking time.
Mm-hmm.
Every time. Now, Luke Cage ended up winning on some kind of technicality. He did. That was this situation. If the Winter Soldier was really, really going in, he would buzz Captain America's ass.
Cap. I'm sorry. I call Cap. No pun intended. I call Cap. I'm going to tell you why. Right? In one of the big fighting scenes, where the bridge is, where they do the car chase scene, and then they get out the car. I mean, they get knocked out the car. All right, right. So in that scene right there, you know, he snatched the wheel, the steering wheel out, and then they knock him out. Whatever, they slide out, and then Anthony Mackie does the immaculate roll into the street, or whatever, and. Him and Black Widow, I'm sorry, Winter Soldier and Black Widow are fighting, right? Mm-hmm. And he about to knock Black Widow shit loose with his gun. And out of nowhere, nigga, here come Cap. Say the day, right? They get into it. They really get into it. If you notice, when Cap didn't have that motherfucking shield, nigga, he was beating this nigga's ass. This nigga used every weapon possible to fight Cap. He used two guns and a knife. That nigga would get manhandled.
He wouldn't get manhandled. But he
did a flying knee. He did a flying knee to this nigga. That nigga fell into a van, my nigga. He would beat this nigga's ass.
Man, I think that goes back to, I don't know why, man. I've never been a huge fan of Captain America.
Cause he corny.
Like, I guess because like he always want to do like the right thing. You know what I mean?
He corny as fuck, man. Yeah, corny. Like, he got no swag. No nothing.
Well, it's because he's 90 something years old. So it's kind of like, you know what I mean? He's coming from the 20s, and now you throw him in. The, you know what I'm saying?
From the 40s.
The 40s, yeah, the 40s, the 40s.
Yeah.
So he's coming from the 40s, and like, so yeah, he's an old ass man. So, in all actuality, his train of thought is just different from everybody else's. And, but it's like, I don't know. I guess just that fight scene to me, it just seemed like the Winter Soldier just like looked better doing it. Like, I don't know. I don't really know what it was.
He just looked cooler. That's what it was. He just looked cooler. Man. He got the metal arm. He got the little mask. He got the shit covering his eyes. He got the long flowing hair and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, he got the sleeveless muscle shirt. Like, he just looked cooler doing it. If you really go back and watch that scene, bro, Captain America was giving that nigga the hands, man. I promise you, he was giving that man the hands.
That shit was about equal, man. I'm telling you.
Nah, hell nah. Bro, if you take away Winter Soldier's guns and that knife and just they gotta duke it out, no, bro. he don't get the best of him. Like, not for nothing, Damian, this is the thing about the Winter Soldier that, like, that people keep forgetting. He's a mercenary at this moment. He's a mercenary. Well, really not a mercenary. He's an assassin. I'm sorry. He's an assassin, right? But, like, he don't really have, like, no real hand-to-hand combat skill.
He was getting
whooped by Black Widow.
He was not getting whooped.
Bro, she flew off a car and almost twirled this nigga into a hurricane. Like, nigga, she grabbed the shit. She was elbowing this nigga on the head, all kind of shit. And what'd he do? He threw her. After he threw her, what's the first move he go to? Bow, he shot her. That's what I'm saying, bro. He don't really got no hand-to-hand combat in this movie, bro.
Man, I disagree. I think he do. But I think what all it is he's not supposed to win. So I think what they want to do, that's just like me and you when we have the conversations on the villains, like whether it's because in my opinion, I think Spider-Man got like the best villains.
In Marvel?
Yes.
It's between him and X-Men.
X-Men
is kind of a cheat code, but it's between him and X-Men for sure.
Yeah. And it's kind of like a lot of his villains be looking cool as shit. And like their powers be cool. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like when it comes to like Captain America, I think that because he's quote unquote Captain, like even though he's corny and they make him corny, they also put this thing in there where they try to make him greater than what he is. That's just like I told you. I took this shit personally when it comes to Endgame. You know what I'm saying? When that motherfucker caught the goddamn hammer, that shit pissed me. When everybody was like, in the theater and shit, I was the only motherfucker like, man, that's some bullshit. I was mad as hell in the theater.
Why do you say that, though?
Because he's not the mighty Thor, man. He's not a god.
You're not paying attention. You're not paying attention.
No,
remember, when Odin casted the spell upon Mjolnir, he said, whoever is so worthy shall be able to hold this hammer. Now, remember, on Ultron, they was all sitting in the living room kicking it, drinking beers and shit, and everybody was like, so what's the trick? So Thor was like, what do you mean? He was like, they like, what's the trick? Like, why can't nobody pick up the hammer? He's like, oh, simple. You're not worthy. So everybody trying it and shit, and Cap, he grabs it, and he goes, and he lifts it a little bit.
And he felt it move. Face.
No. This is where you losing it. He felt it move just a tad bit. He felt it. He stops and he puts it back down. He's like, I can't do it. He knew he could lift the hammer. So when it came time to do it, it was only a matter of time.
Man, you can try to convince me all you want, man. Because this is what gets me. It's not just the fact that he caught the hammer.
Right.
It's the fact that he immediately knew what to do with the hammer. Not only did he immediately know how to do what with the hammer, this motherfucker knew how to call the thunder. Get that bullshit out of here.
He been watching Thor for like the last 6 years.
Who you been watching, man? You don't supposed to know how to do shit that fucking quick, man. Ain't no way.
The thunder shit, I'm with you. The thunder shit, I'm with you, because that's really just Thor doing. Like, Thor can do that shit without the hammer. So, like, the thunder coming down was nuts. I'm with you on that. But, like, as far as throwing the hammer, like, calling it back, yeah. If man. once you hold the hammer, you have the knowledge of the hammer.
Man, get that out of here. Anyway, so I think that they try to hold him up because he's like the first Avenger and all this type shit. And it's just like,
well, technically the second, but
Well, yeah, because of Captain Marvel.
Yep.
Yeah, Captain Marvel. But no, I just think that it's in. I think it's in the script for Bucky not to the Winter Soldier to really whoop his ass. Like they have to kind of make it to where you don't. You know what I'm saying? Like, what? Like lose hope or whatever. I don't know exactly what I'm trying to say. No.
So the whole thing with the Winter Soldier is Bucky loses his life, right? Supposedly, we think Bucky is dead. Well, the scientists find Bucky. They work on him, whatever, turn him into this mercenary assassin. And now, remember, throughout the whole movie, before he flipped them and dropped the mask, like he been like throwing dukes with this dude. Like he really been like trying to whoop this nigga ass. Remember, he had the mask on. He had the flying knee to the chest, all that shit. Now, when he flips him and the mask drop and he stands up and he sees that this is Bucky, his whole world is shattered now because he's like, wait a minute, that's my fucking friend that since, you know what I'm saying, whatever, I thought he was dead. No, he's alive, like me.
So and the same age as me.
Like, exactly.
Like, so frozen like I was frozen.
Exactly. So now, if you watch throughout the rest of the movie, he not even fighting them the same. Remember when they was on the bridge when him and Falcon was talking, he was like, yeah, he was like, what if he don't like feel the same way about you? He was like, he will, trust me. Like, I know my friend. Like, I don't care what's going on right now. I know my friend. Like, trust me, he will. So like, he didn't even intend on trying to kill him or nothing after that. So that dynamic is already interesting once he finds that out, right? What I really want to get to is how, you know what I'm saying, they did my man Nick Fury in this. I didn't like that. I didn't like that. Now, I will say this. That's a fire-ass Jeep that he had. Or truck or Tahoe, whatever he was riding.
Oh, the Tahoe, yeah.
Oh, exquisite. Who wouldn't want one of them? Okay, that was an amazing car. All right, first off, they brought a battering ram and it didn't do too much of nothing, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, you know what I'm saying? They did my man wrong, bro. You know what I'm saying? He was out of most of the movie, which I felt like the movie would have been a little bit, it could have been a little bit better with him throughout the movie, you know what I'm saying? And this is where like that spy espionage like James Bond shit comes in with Nick Fury. Like, I think this is an amazing role for Samuel L. Jackson to have. You know what I'm saying? I enjoy seeing Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury because he brings a certain flavor to Nick Fury that I don't think anybody else could have brought. You know what I'm saying? Especially like he's supposed to be like the older version of Fury who already kind of went through everything. I don't really think Nick Fury could be played by anybody else at this stage. Maybe a younger version, they could have found somebody else. But like at this stage, I don't see anybody else who could be like demanding as he is with certain things. Like nobody would take like Terry Crews serious if he was
Nick Fury. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But like, cause you know, he plays comedic roles and you know what I'm saying, every night, like he make a lot of jokes. So you ain't gonna be able to really take him serious. You definitely not taking Denzel serious because Denzel is way too serious. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that is a funny statement.
It's true, bro.
You ain't gonna take him serious because he's too serious.
He would be way too serious as Nick Fury, bro.
Hey, you know that shit remind me of. I know there may be somebody in our audience that'll get this, but
what?
So there's this like so on the Dan Levitard show, right? So mm-hmm. like when they go on a like little breaks, like they'll play like you know send like a funny clip from whenever, right?
Yeah.
So there was one scene where He was like, when Tom Brady went down with a leg injury, he was like, I was in my living room pumping my hand because I was happy that he got hurt. He was like, I'm sorry. I'm not going to apologize for that. And Dan caught it. Dan said, he said, from the makers of trust me, don't trust me. Oh, sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
That's crazy. You know,
that shit is hilarious when you say, because people say that. Yeah. People say, I'm sorry, but I'm not like,
sorry,
apologize.
Not sorry. That's crazy.
Yeah, that, hey, that just reminds me. He's serious, but he's too serious.
Yeah, like because it's one of those things to where like you have to be able to have a lot of range to play a character like that, right? And yeah. And it's just something about like Samuel L. Jackson that like if he tell you to do something like in real life, you gonna do it, bro.
Yeah.
Like if he hits you like S-Dot, grab me that pencil, you'll be like, okay, man, damn, like here, yeah. You know what I'm saying? That wasn't even playing. That was crazy. But yeah, like, but that's what I'm saying. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he just got, it's just something about him, bro, that make you want to follow the rules if he yell at you. So, like, I get it. You know what I'm saying? First and foremost, though, I got to say this. Scarlett Johansson, man. Hey, bro, this is the best she's looked in any of these Marvel movies. The best, hands down. Maybe I take that back. Maybe she looked neck and neck with the Iron Man movie. But like this one, I don't know what it was, bro. But it was like she was just like extra nice in this one.
I feel you. But I will say this, and I don't know why. Well, the person who I think is the baddest out of all of them is fucking what's her name? I had the show who Steven Rogers is in love with.
You talking about
Agent Carter.
Yeah, Agent Carter.
Agent Carter.
Nah, now Peggy nice. Carter is all right. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. Peggy Carter is nice. She ain't no Scarlett Johansson though.
Nah, get out of here.
Hey man, Scarlett Johansson.
Hey, that motherfucker. See, this is the thing. Scarlett hard, but like man, but sometimes it be like sometimes she be a little mid.
No, like, I've seen Scarlett Johansson in a movie where she was torn down from the floor down. And she was still fine, bro. That motherfucker is just fine, bro. I don't know how to explain it.
Well, I fuck with Maria Hill, too.
Oh, yeah, Maria Hill, yeah. I missed her ever since How I Met Your Mother.
See, I fuck with her. She had a TV show that came out, and I hate that they only gave it one season, but she had a show that came on ABC. I think it was called Stomp Town, something like that.
Yeah, yep. Yep, yeah, I know what you're talking about. That's yeah, Kobe cool. Smulders has always been like the like real cute.
You know the vibe she give me, like with her like comedic like timing. She gives me Lizzie Kaplan. Like she kind of reminds me of her, like because like when you have like Lizzie Kaplan, like especially like when she was in Now You See Me Too. Yeah. It's like she just got like this comedic timing that's just like when it's like she's serious, like she say it serious,
yeah,
but the shit be funny.
Right.
Like she got that type of comedy. And like I think Maria Hill's the same way. Like Kobe like she's the same way. Like that shit be funny. Like she be serious and like she don't be laughing, but it just come off funny. But
she was top notch in How I Met Your Mother for sure. But no, listen, bro. Natasha Romanoff, okay? Black Widow, Scarlett Johansson, man.
All right, okay.
12 out of 10, bro.
So are you taking it as far as what Kevin Durant famously said about what, I don't know, like a decade ago or something? You remember what he said about Scarlett Johansson?
No.
So he was documented saying, he said that he would drink her bath water.
Oh no, I'm not drinking nobody's bath water. I get it. Like, I get why people say that, but like, just thinking of that, no, fuck no, bro. That's disgusting.
It is. I don't know where Kevin Durant got this shit from.
Yeah, nah.
But
I've taken baths before. No thanks. Yeah, like, I don't think that's something real niggas.
This shit is salty, dude. Like,
I don't know what it tastes like, but no thanks. I'm cool, bro. It's just but I mean, if I had a shot at Scarlett Johansson, bro, I'm Steph Curry from the half court, from the entrance or the walkway, whatever that shit is he do at the beginning of the games, like before the games even start and shit during shooting rounds. I'm that. Okay, I'm shooting it. I'm raising Scarlett Johansson up, bro. Cause what? Did you see her in that film?
I will tell you this.
And I ain't gonna lie, I got a thing for redheads too, so.
I will tell you this. I sat there and watched one of the most boringest movies I've ever seen.
Uh-huh.
And what is it? Under the Skin or In the Skin? Just because she got naked in there, like, 3 or 4 times. I sat there and watched that dumbass movie just because of that. It was a weird ass movie. Like,
yeah.
Like, she was like this. I think she was technically like an alien or something. And like, hey, so man, basically what she would do to like lure people in, it's like she would like kind of like some, it would be some kind of hypnotized thing where like they would be like walking after her and like she'd be walking backwards and she'd just keep walking and she'd just take all of her clothes off. And so now she's just walking in the nude and like you mm-hmm. in this room, it's all black and like in this water on the ground. And mm-hmm. like, if she's just walking backwards and then she just kill your ass.
Oh, I'd be dead.
That's why they were dead.
Yeah, I'd be dead. Okay?
It was a weird movie, man. It was, I think it's called In the Skin. Hold on, man.
I don't know, but I'm going to tell you what pissed me off, bro. When she dyed her hair blonde, she need to go back to that red, bro. That red is fire on her. I'm sorry. It does something to me, but she got it, man. But not for nothing, though. Like, I know we're talking a lot about how beautiful she is, but I really mean that shit when I say, like, she was whooping Winter Soldier's ass. She was really beating this nigga the fuck up, bro.
I mean, look, man. She did. Under the Skin is what it's called.
Oh, okay. Under I might have checked that out. But, and like, she really be beating people's ass in this movie.
Nah, she do. She do. I mean, look, I mean, our introduction to her, Spider-Man, and Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, she came onto the scene whooping ass, like, immediately.
Yes.
And I think that her character is very necessary. And even for like the human part of it, like even mm-hmm. like the conversations that she was having with Captain America and trying to get him to, you know what I'm saying, to go out with the nurse and all that type shit. Like, I think
she plays that role so well, bro.
That's what I'm saying. Even not trying to, like, she never like looked at him like that. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, it was always, because I think that she knew, like, the type of person that she was, that, like they would never, like, mesh because, like you said, about how corny he is. Like, she's willing to do, they just, like, when they sent them on the mission, but both of them had two different things to do on the mission. But both exactly. of them really had two different missions. And he was like, she's willing to do anything. You're not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you do, you know what I'm saying, the right morally thing. She's willing to, you know what I'm saying, to step behind.
Yeah,
you know,
sometimes she got to, if she got to take a life, she'll take a life.
Exactly. Like, she is like, you know what I'm saying, the Deadpool of the situation. You more Batman. Like, you ain't really trying to necessarily kill anybody. Yeah. But she's like,
she'll break a few legs.
Yeah, just like that scene where when my man, when it was on the roof, my man was like, Cap, you're not gonna push me off this building. It's not in your character. He was like, no, I won't. But she will. Yeah. And she kicked his ass off the building. Now, even though they had a plan for Falcon to catch him, but the point is, she about that life. Cap, man.
Yeah.
So, like, they wouldn't even mesh of, like quote-unquote,
and time that's to be why together, Cap can lift the hammer. because he has the morals and the loyalty and the patriotism. And I mean, I ain't gonna lie to you though. It's perfect that out of everybody who did it, he did it. You know what I'm saying? He showed everybody America can lift the hammer.
Yo, what right. I was like, man, I need the soundboard.
I said it on your face, man. But no, no, but I think truthfully, she's a great addition to this film because this is what, well, she is really what the film needs, because this is her turning point of her loyalty to the Avengers, to S.H.I.E.L.D., you know what I'm saying, to the team. Because remember, in this whole thing, the whole focus is about trusting people, you know what I'm saying, about people having your back, about people believing in you. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit like that. And remember, she didn't have that with nobody except for Clint Barton, a.k.a. Hawkeye. Because she's technically, like, a base... I mean, she's a fucking assassin for hire.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, that's, like, that's her thing. You know what I'm saying? She's a double agent. She's a merc. She's all that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And then, to piggyback off what you were saying... Like, also, S.H.I.E.L.D. turned their back on Cap. So mm-hmm. she was watching, you know, the whole situation of how S.H.I.E.L.D. treated him and her in a sense, because, you know what I'm saying, she was the one who even got the that foul thing or mm-hmm. whatever. But it was something that Fury needed and wanted. Oh. And you see what they did with him. They tried to kill him.
Yeah,
and then they thought they quote unquote killed him, well, and then it was like, "Yo, we take him out, we take Cap out."
Nick Fury is so badass, bro. They sent Winter Soldier after this nigga, bro. Yeah. Think about that, bro. They sent the Winter Soldier after this nigga, bro.
That's crazy.
You know how cold you gotta be to have them send him after you? Like, this nigga has a high success rate. Like, if he's going, the job is going to get done. They send him after you. That's nuts, bro. Speaking of, we gotta get into one of the greatest fight scenes in this movie, too. The elevator scene.
Oh, yeah.
Bro. I understand that Captain America is corny and, you know, he does the right thing all the time. But there's moments that he has in these movies that you kind of, you know, you kind of root for him. You kind of just be like, yeah, Cap, that's what I'm talking about. And one of those moments is in the Avengers where, I forgot which Avengers movie it is, but him and Tony are talking on the headset or something. And Tony say something in Cap, like, language or whatever. Like, you know what I'm yeah. saying? Like, he, like, sarcastically being the old man. But the other moment is in the elevator. Everybody's getting on the elevator. He realizes something ain't right here. So my man just, he flat out just like, let's get to it. Before we start, do anybody want to get off? Nigga, they hit that button, bro, and he got the beating the shit out of people, bro. That nigga, hey, this nigga kicked somebody into the ceiling of the elevator, bro. That was crazy.
I mean, that he did.
That was crazy, man.
That was funny when my one man was left last, and he was like, "All right, man, chill, big guy." You know, like, nah, you started some shit. We gonna finish this shit, like. Like, nah, like, don't try to calm me down now because you're the last man standing.
Exactly.
But, nah, yeah, that was a dope fight scene. But then, like, you know, like always, they got to make him seem even more superior. You know, his hand stuck to the wall and shit, so he's whooping ass with one hand and all this. Man, they trying to lift Cap up, man.
No, he is more superior. These are regular dudes.
Well, he is more superior.
This nigga got the super soldier serum.
I'm talking about when it comes to everybody else that's included in an Avenger.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
It's what I mean. Like yeah. he's like the only person that can fucking knock out the Hulk, fucking steal Thunder's, steal Thor's thunder. He's the only person it's like he's the universal person that can do everything.
First and foremost, Captain America never fought the Hulk.
I guarantee if they did, he would knock him out.
No, well, in these movies, probably.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They did the Hulk. That's what I don't like. They did my guy dirty. And you know the Hulk is my guy. They did him dirty. Thanos, that whole Thanos thing, I almost walked out the theater. I'm not gonna lie. I almost caught it quits early in the movie, bro. Because I'm like, how dare they do that to my guy? But anyway, that's another story. That's another time. I think that elevator scene was dope. That was like the beginning of, you know what I'm saying, the turn on Cap. And then once he find out who Bucky is, you know, him and Bucky do their thing, and you know what I'm saying, he helping Bucky to remember, and now he getting, no, that's Civil War. I'm tripping.
I was doing the same thing before
it's tough.
I started watching.
It's tough because they so similar.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, they real similar because of the situation going on. In Civil War, you got, you know what I'm saying, Bucky has come to or whatever, but you got them going after Cap and them. And in this one, this is S.H.I.E.L.D. going after them. Okay, so he escapes and everything else like that. Him and Black Widow meet up. You know, they do their thing. They end up driving out or whatever. And they go to, you know what I'm saying, the old fort. They figure out the whole Hydra plan and shit from the computers. And then they go see Falcon, and we get introduced to the Falcon. Now, he probably has the corniest intro second corniest intro. And I don't like what they're doing with the characters, bro. Because the first corny intro is Rhodey when that nigga got the Warhammer suit. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. You know what I'm saying? First off, he stole the suit from Tony Stark and brought it to Justin Hammer. And then Justin Hammer promised him this quote-unquote nuclear deterrent that didn't do shit. It wasn't even a firecracker. Okay? Set my man up for failure. Rhodey was getting his ass whooped. Okay, and then here comes Black Falcon, aka Falcon. Now, I will say this: the flying scene where, like, the him and the plane is going at it, perfection. I like that. I fucked with that. That's his only win in Marvel history. Damn. Throughout the rest of Marvel history, he gets his ass whooped. Okay, every time. 60% of the time, it's 100% of the time. He's getting his ass whooped. Shout out to Anchorman and Black Panther. Sex Panther. That's what it was called, Sex Panther. Anyway, but no, Anthony Mackie in this, though, I do like Anthony Mackie in the Avengers and Captain America and all that. I fuck with Anthony Mackie in this because he brings that flair to this character. You know what I'm saying? Like, he has a great sense of humor. He does well, like, with the comedic shit. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he had the stature for it. Like, that nigga was in shape. The only thing I don't like is that the suit, well, not the suit, but the jetpack was so bulky.
Yeah.
So I'm like, nah, it just looked like this nigga's backpacking.
Yeah, that's funny.
Throughout most of the movie. Like, you know what I'm saying? What I did think was funny was when they was in the hideout, like in the bunker, and you know what I'm saying? Cap was like, hey, you know, we taking everything down. We taking S.H.I.E.L.D. down. We taking Hydra down. Like, we got to. We got to do this. And he looked, you know what I'm saying? Nick Fury look around at everybody, and everybody like, I mean, shit, he right. And he look up at that nigga. He looked up at Falcon, and Falcon was like, hey, man, I'm here with him. I do what he do, just slower, nigga. Like, so don't look at me. I was like, bro, that shit was funny as fuck to me, bro. Like, he was down with his boy, and I fuck with that, man. I think, like I said, I think Anthony Mackie does a great job at playing Falcon. His, like, where he shines is Civil War. He shined in that movie with him and Bucky was running from Spider-Man. Bro, you talking about funny as fuck, bro? Because at first they was running to, I think they was trying to run to safety, like to he was trying to get Bucky out of there. But then when them niggas start actually realizing that Spider-Man was chasing them and start running from Spider-Man, you talking about funny as fuck, bro? That shit had me crying. That whole scene was great. But in this movie, I think his introduction, it's a tad bit corny because they introduce him by picking dude up from falling. And yeah. Then, you know what I'm saying? Like, he land and he got the big ass wings and then they fold up and then he like do that cool ass turnaround. I'm like, yeah, that was a little cheesy, but I fuck with it though. He made up for it during the fight scene with the plane, for sure.
True, but I think that what this movie shows you, and it shows you once you know what happens, everything makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense, you know what I'm saying, that, you know, Cap end up making him the next Captain America. It makes sense when you watch Falcon and the Winter Soldier that they ended up becoming close as well, because his relationship with Cap is different from everybody. It's kind of like Natasha Romanoff and Hawkeye. They have a different connection.
Yeah, because he's in this because of Cap.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so they have a different connection. So when he decided to do, you know what I'm saying, what he wanted to do, which, you know, made perfect sense, where, you know what I'm saying, he went back into time and, you know, just spent his life out with Agent Carter and you know, he got old and passed the shield down to him. It's like, yo, you was the first person who really fucked with me like that, you know what I'm saying, heavy. So it only makes sense that I passed this down to you, even though you didn't felt that you were worthy to do it. But you have to know, if I give it to you, then obviously I'm saying you are. But for him to also become the next person to, the next person, because he had to hide Bucky. He hit him in Wakanda with fucking the Black Panther shit, and they built him the best fucking arm that he could ever get.
Yeah.
And, But then for the Falcon and the Winter Soldier to be the ones to get a show together and they, you know, build this bond, you know, basically from Captain America. It, like, from watching this one, you know, and go, like, cause see, like, the thing is, like, once I've like watched them, I haven't really like gone like back to them. The only one that I've gone back to like that is Infinity War and Endgame.
Yeah,
those are the ones that I watched multiple
times. To me, this is the best movie behind those two.
For me, I would say those two, but I would say Civil War.
Okay.
I will go Civil War and then probably Black Panther.
Really?
Because the first one, I thought the first Black Panther was. I felt they did a really fucking good job with this shit. So I would probably go there. But see, the thing is, it's so many, because the first Iron Man was dope.
The first Iron Man was good. Like, it's, to me, it's top five for sure.
Yeah, the first Iron Man was dope.
This is why I say this, right? Like, Avengers, Infinity War, and Endgame, they are technically one big movie.
Yeah.
So that's why I put them at 1A, 1B. But it's a complete move. Like, it's literally the perfect capstone to a whole series of movies that we've seen up until that point. I feel like Winter Soldier is literally, and really, I can't even lie and say I wouldn't put it at number one. It's literally the perfect movie out of all of them. It has everything you need. Like, name something that this movie, like, you're gonna be hard pressed to do it, to name something that this movie doesn't have. It has action, it has drama, it has, you know what I'm saying, friendship, it has the struggle, the Cap's inner struggle, right, to save his, now he has to save his friend on top of saving the world from this organization that everybody trusted but went rogue. And they have his friend, so now he has to literally find a way to fight his friend to the point where he can break his friend down but not kill him, right? So he has an internal struggle to do that, right? Then you have this relationship of Nick Fury and Natasha Romanoff and them two kind of, you know what I'm saying, in a weightless balance of, are we trustworthy enough? You know what I'm saying? Can we really trust each other? And so now you get her maturation into being a, you know what I'm saying, a hero and everything else. And then you get Cap and Falcon, who, you know, it was a very important scene in the movie where Cap walks in and Falcon is holding like a meeting for people, for like soldiers who had PTSD and were dealing with traumas of coming home and trying to adjust back to getting home and everything else. And we all know that that's what Cap is struggling with the most, because he's out of his time period, he's out of his element, he's out of everything. He literally has nobody, well, at the time, he literally had nobody left. It was just him, right? And so now you bring in this guy who he can talk to and who he can have these conversations with, who knows what it feels like somewhat, not to his extent, but at least, you know what I'm saying, somebody relatable. And I think that's what brings them two together, to have that kind of situation to where he's so loyal to Cap, because first off, he knows what Cap stands for. He knows who Cap is. He knows what he's about. But at the same time, he's like, yo, like, I'm willing to help make a difference. I'm willing to, you know what I'm saying, go out there and do something. And then he asked Cap, like, yo, you know what I'm saying, you ever think about, you know, going back and going at it? And he like, shit, all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a very important scene between, you know what I'm saying, for their dynamic too. And then, you know, you bring in the whole conspiracy aspect of it with, you know what I'm saying, the SHIELD agency and what they mean to the world at the time, and like, you know, changing up on the council and all this other shit. It's like, bro, everything about this movie is it. Like, you got all of it. There's nothing that was missed. You know what I'm saying? It's some comedy in there. It's a little bit of love interest in there, because remember, he was crushing on Agent 19. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Only to find out that's his, you know what I'm saying, his best girl's daughter, or granddaughter. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's a culmination of just everything is just right, bro. It just, everything fit like a puzzle in this movie. And that's why I'm telling you, bro, this has to be the best movie out of that whole Infinity Saga. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is before we even get to the stones and everything. Like, I think the only one there is what, the Tesseract?
Yeah, which they show in the
First Captain America.
Yeah, but they show Loki's thing in the end.
Oh, the sphere, the scepter, yep.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's so much that you get. Like, even in this movie, they mentioned Doctor Strange in this movie before he even get his shit. Like, before he even get here. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, and then not only that, you know what I'm saying? You got this weird, like, Cold War type thing going on because, like, Hydra and S.H.I.E.L.D. is going at it, but you don't necessarily really see them go at it. You just see, like, the turncoat shit happen, and then you see them battle it out. But, like, up until that point, you have, like, this war that's not really being fought physically, but, like, on the, you know what I'm saying, like, on the information side, on the, you know, on the spy side, like, of things. So it's like, yo, this had everything, bro.
I hear you. I know where you're going on Firefly.
Oh, you already know. For sure. So you ready to get into it?
Yes, sir.
Let's go, man.
Yoga, fire! Yoga, flame!
All right, so like you said, man, everybody already know where I'm going with this one. I just broke everything down for you. It's a 5. I'm sorry. This is one of the ones I can continually watch, and it'll never get old for me. That's how good this movie is. Plus, Scarlett Johansson.
Look, man, I appreciate this movie for what it was. And like I said, I like the Winter Soldier more as the, you know what I'm saying, as the antagonist. And that's why I put, you know what I'm saying, Civil War a little higher, because we get deeper into the story, and that's when we get the whole book and all this shit. But in all actuality, man, I'm gonna give this a 4. Like, for me, when it comes for phase 1 through 4, there was not, in my opinion, not one bad movie. Like, it wasn't like a bad one. Like it may have been some that may not.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Thor: Dark World.
I wouldn't say. Well, because they turned it into a love story. It was
Thor's whole shit is a love story.
I mean, it is. It wasn't like terrible. Is what I'm saying. Like, it wasn't like, to me. I don't think it was.
Bro, the dark elves and all that shit, and the ship that crashed into Asgard, that shit was horrible. Yo. And I stole that movie.
Okay, man. Okay, 1 out of what? Fucking 15?
No. Iron Man 3.
Yeah. Iron Man 3.
Subpar. with the hella suits,
all those suits, that shit was hilarious though.
Yeah, but nah, that wasn't it either. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm trying to think what else came out. That might be it. Might be just them two.
Might be just them two, but I'm gonna give us a 4 because, like I said, it's still a really, really, really good movie. And they did a very great job at what they were doing. It gives you a lot. I just like the personal storyline of Civil War. I think because at the end of this one, Bucky pulls him out the water and leaves him there and we don't see him again. And yeah. I think that Civil War picks up from that and it actually shows you, like, in depth what Bucky and why he's quote unquote not Bucky but is Bucky and all that type shit. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna give this one 4, man. When it comes to Captain America Winter Soldier,
that's not bad at all. Let's get into the coming soon, man.
Let's do it.
Coming soon to own on video and DVD.
Next episode, this was a cultural phenomenon. Okay. Now, you've seen multiple mob movies. You've seen all of them, from Godfather to Goodfellas and all, so on and so forth. But you never tuned in weekly to see a show so good that it kind of made you jealous you wasn't a part of it. You know what I'm saying? Up until a certain point, at least. The Sopranos, ladies and gentlemen. We are covering, that's right, every season of The Sopranos. From beginning to end, we are going to talk about how great of a TV show this is, or maybe it wasn't so great. Who knows? Tune in to find out next time on Dragon Ball Z. we gonna cover The Sopranos on the next episode, man. So y'all get ready for that. If you haven't watched The Sopranos in a long time, go back, watch a few episodes. You know what I'm saying? Stay, you know, get tuned in, get the refresher so you guys can, you know what I'm saying, keep up and keep track. And if you haven't ever seen it like me, watch it. You know what I'm saying? You got a few days for another episode drop. Perfect time to go, you know, have something to binge watch. But if you enjoyed Captain America Winter Soldier, if you didn't enjoy it, or if you, like me, got super duper excited when Winter Soldier caught the shield and threw it back at Cap during the chase, hit us up, let us know on socials, Instagram, Twitter, at @ViewingNinePod, Facebook, VA Pod Watch Group. You can leave comments on the YouTube videos. Make sure to subscribe. Make sure to like and share the videos as well. If you can't find it, it's just YouTube Viewers Anonymous. And make sure to sign up for our paid episodes, our behind-the-scenes episodes. It's only $2.99 a month. You can join in, listen to those episodes. Got a lot more stuff that we cover on those. So I think you guys will definitely enjoy that. $2.99. Hit the link in the description, and it'll take you to where you need to go. If you'd like to follow me, you can follow me on Twitter at Schools Bronson. I have a link tree in my bio, and you can follow me everywhere else there.
And y'all can find me at s.foster8 on Instagram and on X at 28 Minutes or Less Pod. That is on IG and it's on TikTok. Follow the podcast 28 Minutes or Less. On last episode, still respect the Lady Cox. So go check that episode out. I can guarantee you it's going to be different than what y'all going to hear later on. But I did cover The Sopranos on the 28 Minutes or Less, so it'll be a different version of that over there. So check that out if you like. But that's all I got.
Absolutely. And definitely go check that episode out, because it's definitely going to help you on the next episode. You know what I'm saying? We're going to get into some things that, I don't know, man. There's some sketchy shit going on with these guys. You know what I'm saying? So stay tuned, man. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for watching. Your support is always greatly appreciated. Without you, there could be no us. And like they say in Hollywood,
that's a wrap.
Cut.